This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has alhamdulillah accepted your du'as when you said, وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانَ. Oh Allah, grant us to reach Ramadan. Allah has accepted that du'a of yours and you have reached Ramadan 2016. Walhamdulillah. You've made it. Walhamdulillah. And we've said the niyyah for fasting, and we know that the niyyah is something of the heart. But more importantly than the niyyah, or saying the niyyah, it is about setting your niyyah for this Ramadan and not just fasting. Jamaatul Muslimin, understand that one Ramadan is enough to enter you into Jannah. One Ramadan is enough to guarantee you Jannah, no matter where you are in the race. No matter who you are, how far back you are in the race, one accepted Ramadan is enough. We said that beautiful hadith in Jumu'ah, that the reward of Ramadan is even greater than the reward of the Shaheed. And that in this month, there will be at least three opportunities where all of your sins can be forgiven. And that there will be a night in this month where it is greater than 84 years of continuous ibadah. 30 days stand between you and Jannah. 30 days stand between you and Jannah, and it begins tonight, insha'Allah. Think about it like that. Every moment of this month, you're beginning it now. Make the most of it. And they say, the ulama say that when you make salah or when you fast, fast and have that Ramadan and make salah as if though it is your final act of ibadah. But this is the last Ramadan that you're going to have. We don't know if we're going to have another Ramadan. How many of those faces that were there last year are not here today? And we ask Allah to grant them a high place in Jannah and a forgiveness for their sins and have mercy upon them. So this could be our last. And it's enough if you have one. If you only had one Ramadan, it's enough of an opportunity to guarantee you into Jannah. 30 days stand between you and Jannah. Let us make, Allah grant us the strength to make the most of it, to fast, to worship you as you want us to do it. And may Allah grant us the best and the tawfiq at the end of this month. Ameen. Let us begin with our series this year. And the series that we have installed for you, inshallah, this year is entitled The Heroes of Islam. The Heroes of Islam. We know we are all in a superhero craze at the moment. Everywhere you look, there are superheroes and role and people that you are said to aspire to be like. And we need role models. We need people to look up to. We need to have people that we aspire to be like. And inshallah, in this series, we will not be focusing on the great superheroes like the Anbiya. We did the Anbiya a few years ago. And we're not going to do the great superheroes of the Sahaba. We did them already. And we will look at more ordinary people. That we have a deen of 1,500 years and this deen is standing. Through thick and thin, through tough times, through good times, this deen is still standing. And it didn't just happen by ease or by luck. It happened through the works and the efforts of great men and women. And I want us, as we go through the series, for us to at least, my objective is that you learn about new people that you've never heard about, to understand how this deen is here, who brought it here, and that you might identify with somebody. So you might listen to the history of some person and say, SubhanAllah, I am nothing like that person. That person who made so much salah and ibadah, that's not for me. But then there might be an inventor. There might be an architect. There might be a doctor. There might be a warrior, an administrator that changed the world. And you say, maybe I can be like him or like her. And inshallah, I hope in the series, you'll find someone that you will inspire to be like. And the point of this is not for us to become superheroes, but the point of it is that few of us will ever have the ability as individuals to change history. Not all of us will get that. And throughout history, only a few great people did that. But history changed through thousands and thousands of people doing small individual contributions. And that, inshallah, makes you a hero. That little bit that you do that no one sees besides Allah, that is what changes history. So we said, inshallah, we are not focusing on the age of the Sahaba. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of people are my generation, meaning the generation of Sahaba. And then those who come after them, meaning the next generation, they are the next best in line. And then the nation, the generation after them. So we have three categories of people here. We have, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have the Sahaba. Those who saw him and those who met him, those who had suhbah, companionship with him, they are called the Sahaba. We all know this. And the best of them, of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then the generation of the Sahaba are called the Tabi'un or the Tabi'een. Those who followed, those who succeeded the Sahaba. These are people who met Sahaba, but they never met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we have the Tabi'ut Tabi'een. Those who followed the Tabi'een. They never met Sahaba, but they met people who met the Sahaba. And these are the three generations that are the best of generations. We won't only speak about these three generations, we'll even speak about heroes. Like a hero that passed away, may Allah grant him rahma and maghfirah. The person we can all learn from, Muhammad Ali, may Allah grant him, our brother, Jannatul Firdaus, ameen. That is someone that brought inspiration. So these are our heroes. From the beginning till now, Allah sends us people that we can aspire. So I want to begin, and it is the sunnah here at Masjid al-Burhanul Islam for us to give a little bit of a prize as well. And I want to explain to you the quiz this year. So we will have spot prizes. Today there are two spot prizes. We'll ask the floor and men and ladies, whoever answers. I don't really know what's inside there. I think it's a mug or a flask, but it might be something else. It might be a million rand in there. Allah alam. I don't know. I don't know what's really in there. We just found it in the office, wrapped up nicely. So alhamdulillah, we'll see what's in there. Also, but then going forward, you all, inshallah, have been given a booklet called the quiz book. So this summarizes some of the questions and things we've learned over the past 4 or 5 years of Ramadan. And from there, we will select questions each night. You'll get a card, you'll fill it out, and we'll keep a log going to see at the end of the month. And inshallah, we can give a really good prize at the end of the month. So you go through those questions or those 300 statements, and we'll ask questions on that. And this was, and I must apologize, it's my fault. Bit of a rush job. You'll find spelling mistakes. You might find a few little errors here and there, but you can tell me, and we'll try to edit the best we can. But inshallah, the gist of it is good. So from that, we will base our questions. So now for a spot prize question. We said the Tabi'een are the best of generations, the best of people after Nabi Muhammad of the Sahaba. Who is the leader of the Tabi'een? Who is the best of the Tabi'een? And we'll talk about him tonight. Like Abu Bakr is the senior Sahabi, and we have other great companions with him. Who is the most legendary of the Tabi'een? Salahuddin. So a Tabi'een is someone who met a companion. Salahuddin did not meet the companions. He's lived 1,000 years ago. Sahaba 1,500 years ago. There was some... So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in fact, just to introduce him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that there are some people, he's saying to the Sahaba, that there are some people they don't look like much. Well, when you picture a hero, what do you picture? Muscles and, you know, he looks the part, right? He looks like a hero. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says there are people that don't look like much. If they come in a gathering or they leave a gathering, no one notices them. That if they propose to someone, no one accepts their proposal. Yet when they raise their hands in dua, Allah does not reject them. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells his Sahaba, you will meet a man who is the best of those after you. If you see him, ask him to make dua for you. He tells Sayyidina Umar, ask him to make dua for you, because his duas are not accepted, are not rejected, Afwan. His duas are never rejected, always accepted. Who are we talking about for a spot prize? Anyone? Who are we talking about? Umair. Afwan?
Umair.
Umair. Umair. Umair man. Good suggestion. Umar ibn Abdulaziz, we'll talk about him as well, but he's not mentioned in hadith. This man is mentioned by name by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He never met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu never met him, but Nabi Sallallahu said, there's a man with this name from Yemen. We'll talk about him, inshallah, now. So no one got a prize, but I think Umar ibn Abdulaziz is the... Yes? Uwais is the... Yes, Uwais, Sheikh Manan. So we will give... We'll give the flask, and the two of you can fight it out for we see, inshallah. Uwais al-Qarni. This great man, his name, Uwais al-Qarni. Uwais al-Qarni, rahimullah, died 657 in the Hijrah, after the AD, actually 657 in the common era. He was a Muslim resident of Qaran in Yemen. He's from Qaran. That's why it's called Qarni. He came from a place in Yemen. And he lived during the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He lived in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Yemen. He heard about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he never met the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his life was seen as insignificant. No one in his town said, Uwais al-Qarni, this great person. Like Imam Shafi'i, in his lifetime, people knew he was great. And people honored him. No one knew about Uwais al-Qarni. He was just an ordinary Buddha in the masjid. Ordinary guy. No one thought of him as anything special. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a hadith about him. And he says to the Sahaba, a man called Uwais will come to you from Yemen. He's telling the Sahaba, you'll meet him one day. And whoever amongst you is able to meet him, meet Uwais, then ask him to make dua that Allah forgives you. He's telling the Sahaba, Nabi Sallam is telling the Sahaba, this man must make dua for you. And that indeed he is the best of followers after the companions, and his name is Uwais. What did this man do to achieve this level? What did this man do to get there? I'll give you a hint. What is the biggest door in Jannah? To enter Jannah. So we know that there's a door, special door of Jannah for fasting people called Rayyan. And that door is wide open. In fact, all the doors of Jannah are wide open now in the month of Ramadan. But there is the biggest door of Jannah. When Nabi Sallam speaks about the biggest door, he's talking about the door which is the easiest door that you can get to Jannah. What is your biggest door to Jannah? Yes. Your parents. The parents and pleasing your parents is the biggest door, the biggest way of getting into Jannah. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever gets his parents in old age and is unable to attain Jannah, then really he is like a loser. Similarly, the one who gets Ramadan and is unable to get forgiveness, then really he's like a loser. So the parents are the biggest door to Jannah. And this was the door that Uwais al-Qarni walked through. So he lived in Yemen. And his father passed away when he was a very young man, and he took care of his mother, who became blind when he was a teenager. So his mother became blind when he was a teenager, and he devoted his life to caring for her and supporting her. And he explains how he became Muslim. He heard Sahaba now entered Yemen. As Islam spread and Sahaba came into Yemen, he said, I was once at, you know, I would take my mother by the hand and I would guide her wherever she needed to go. Then a night came where there were like no stars and it was dark and our fire went out and I couldn't see. And then my mother took me by the hand and she guided me because she was used to the house in the dark. And then he heard the next day a Sahabi reciting this ayah from Surah Nur. Those who are in dark, Allah says, they are like darkness within an unfathomable sea which is covered by waves. So Allah speaks about a person who has no iman. He is in darkness within unfathomable waves above him, upon which are more waves, and upon those waves are clouds, darkness, some of them upon others, layers of darkness. When one puts his hand out, he can hardly see it. And he to whom Allah has not granted light, for him there is no light, meaning there is no guidance. When he heard this ayah the next day, then he knew that this was the truth, that Allah was calling to him, and he embraced Islam. So he embraced Islam in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam was alive, and he heard from the Sahaba, the great Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, if you meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even for 5 minutes, you become a Sahabi, and you become in those ayat where Allah says, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an, that your place in Jannah is almost guaranteed. And he longed to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his mother said, and there's a narration that says, his mother allowed him to go. You can go to Medina, spend 3 days, meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and come back because I need you. And he went to Medina. And when he got to Medina, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't there. And he had to choose, do I wait a week for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to come back, or do I obey my mother? And he obeyed his mother. And he gave up being a companion over obedience to obey his mother. He did what was compulsory. Obeying my mother is compulsory. Being a Sahabi is not compulsory. And he left and he didn't meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though this was his dream. Also, in his lifetime, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tested him with leprosy. And this shows you how his dua was accepted. He raised his hands. At that time, leprosy was like an incurable disease. If you had leprosy, you basically had to go live on your own because there's nothing they could do for you. And he raised his hands and he made dua and he asked Allah to cure him except for one little portion, the size of a coin, on his shoulder. And his entire body was cured of leprosy except for that spot, so he could look at that spot every day and remind himself of Allah. And he spent his life devoted to looking after his mother, not even able to go for Hajj. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells the Sahaba that you will meet this man eventually. The Prophet hasn't passed away. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr became the Khalifa and he passed away. And Sayyidina Umar became the Khalifa, and people now started to Islam spread, and more people entered Islam and they would come for Hajj. And when he would meet people from Yemen, he would ask them, is there an Uwais with you? Is there an Uwais with you? And people said, there's no Uwais. And in the last, towards the last year or two of his reign, say now Umar's last year or two that he was alive, he finally got to meet Uwais al-Qarni. So he asked this group of people from Yemen, is there an Uwais al-Qarni with you? And they said, yes. And Umar said, is he from the town or the tribe of Murad and from Qaran, the city of Qaran? And they said, yes. Umar then said, was he once afflicted with leprosy and he's now cured? And they said, yes. And did he have a mother that was blind and looked after her? And they said, yes, call him. So when Sayyidina Umar called Uwais al-Qarni, he said, you and me, you the Khalifa, you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. They said, yeah, Uwais, he's that guy over there, Buta Uwais, come, right? Sayyidina Umar wants to speak to you. So Sayyidina Umar said, you are Uwais al-Qarni. The one Nabi said that Allah accepts your du'as when you make du'a. So ask Allah to forgive me. I said, subhanAllah, you Sayyidina Umar, I should make dua for you. And he insists, Sayyidina Umar, yes, I insist, make dua, Allah forgives me. And he made dua and he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you and have mercy on you. And this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. When I heard this hadith, someone told me this hadith, my father-in-law actually told me this hadith. I said, I can't believe this is true. But the Sahabi makes asking another man to make dua for him, and yet we find it in Sahih Muslim. This is how high this man's daraja is. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu told him, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to Kufa to live in Iraq. So he said, let me write a letter to the governor of Iraq to make sure he treats you well. So he said, no, please, I want to remain obscure. So no one knew who Uwais al-Qarni was. He said, I only make dua for you on condition you don't expose my identity. In the last year of Sayyidina Umar, a man from Iraq comes and he asks Sayyidina Umar for advice. Sayyidina Umar says, there is a man that lives under you the governor, under you, there is a man called Uwais al-Qarni. Make sure he makes dua for you, because his duas are not rejected. So this man made Hajj and he went back to Kufa. And he found Uwais al-Qarni again, living obscure. No one knew who he was. He wasn't like the great scholars or the great governors or the philosophers of the time. He was just an ordinary man. And the governor finds him out and says, Sayyidina Umar told me, to make dua. He first said, you should make dua for me. So Uwais al-Qarni says, but you are Hajji, you just came from Hajj, rather make dua for me. So he says, no, I insist, ya Uwais, make dua for me. So Uwais said, you spoke to Umar, didn't you? So he said, yes, I spoke to Umar. So he says, okay. So Umar gave the secret away. I'll make dua for you, but now I have to leave Kufa. I don't want to be known. And he leaves and he goes to Turkey, and there he passes away. It's said that his qabr is there in Turkey. A man that we don't know if he was a great alim, how much tahajjud he made, how much fasting he made. All we know, and what we know from the hadith, he got this high daraja because he looked after his mother. Even a daraja that the companions asked him to make dua. And if your mother and father are still alive, your two biggest doors of Jannah are still there. The biggest doors of Jannah of yours are still there. A man comes to the companion and he said, I proposed to a woman. And she rejected my proposal and married someone else. So I became envious and I killed her. Now I regret. What can I do to get forgiveness? Can I be forgiven? Sahabi said, yes, you can. So he said, what can I do? So Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, is your mother still alive? So he said, no. So then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, make dua, Allah will forgive you. And when they asked him, why did you ask him if his mother was still alive? So he said, I don't know a way, a better way, an easier way to get Allah's mercy, except through pleasing your mother. That is the quickest way to gain Allah's pleasure. Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salam wa sallin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.